From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news. So stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia urged UN to form independent commission to investigate Israeli attacks. Indonesia and Singapore discuss six digital transformation issues. Indonesian government confirms no Indonesian becomes victims in main mass shooting. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now with the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesia urged the UN General Assembly to form an independent commission to investigate Israeli attacks on hospitals and places of worship and the mass expulsions of civilians in Gaza. This appeal was voiced by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi at an emergency UN General Assembly meeting held in New York, which discussed Israel's illegal action in the occupied Palestinian territories on Thursday, local time.
The General Assembly should demand an immediate, durable, and fully respected ceasefire. We must be able to avoid future recurrence of the atrocities. The General Assembly should call for accountability, including the establishment of an independent commission of inquiry to investigate this horrifying humanitarian situation.
Retno Marsudi also urged the UN General Assembly and relevant UN agencies to increase efforts to provide humanitarian assistance to Gaza residents. Indonesia will triple its voluntary contribution through the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNWRA, and calls on the international community to support the agency. Indonesia also rejects the forced displacement of civilians in Gaza. Israel's call to leave northern Gaza worsened the conditions of civilians whose homes have been destroyed and access to electricity, gas, fuel, and water restricted. Retno Marsudi emphasized that peace will not be created until the roots of the conflict are addressed. For this reason, the peace process to realize a two-state solution must be restarted. Israel's systematic efforts to make negotiations irrelevant must also be stopped. The Indonesian and Singaporean government have discussed six issues related to digital transformation as part of a series of information exchange between the two countries. Secretary General of the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, Mira Tayuba, said that the issue of digital transformation was discussed at a recent bilateral meeting considering the rapid development of digitalization in both countries. She noted in a statement released by the ministry on Thursday, the meeting discussed six issues, namely Memorandum of Understanding MOU, Digital Roadmap, Data Protection, Digital Economy, Digital Infrastructure, and Media. The bilateral meeting was held in Jakarta on October 25, 2023, as part of the 9th Information and Communication Joint Committee, or ICGC, Indonesia-Singapore's agenda. The two governments expressed their hope that the meeting will help generate inputs on regulating policies following the development of digitalization, which has continued to grow rapidly. The Ministry of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises is cooperating with the Asian Development Bank, ADB, and the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD, for holding a trade and entrepreneurship e-course. The effort is aimed at boosting the implementation of gender equality-based policies. The Ministry Secretary Arif Rahman Hakim said in Jakarta on Thursday, this effort is also aimed at supporting the development and transformation of the entrepreneurship ecosystem for MSMEs, especially for women-run businesses. He added that developing programs and activities based on gender equality is one of his ministry's priority. Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Teten Masduki on Thursday met with the South African business delegation seeking to explore cooperation with Indonesia on developing micro, small and medium enterprises, MSME. Minister Masduki explained in Jakarta on Thursday that Indonesia and South Africa can cooperate in plenty of potential aspects such as a supply chain, marketing, transfer of research and technology, and strengthening of export policy strategies. The minister observed that South Africa is a very promising market for the Indonesian manufacturing industry. According to Masduki, to bolster exports, the ministry's Mesker Indonesia has built a hub at a strategic location in Nusa Dua Bali province in the hopes of providing entrepreneurs and investors with a center for innovation and collaboration. He then expressed a hope that Indonesia and South Africa will be able to identify new cooperation opportunities that are focused on helping MSMEs players develop their businesses. Let's move on to the international news, where the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs confirmed on Thursday, October 26, that there were no Indonesian victims in the mass shootings at the bowling alley and restaurants in the Lewiston, Maine, United States on Wednesday, October 25th. The incident left at least 22 people dead and dozens injured. Local people have identified the shooters, who is now the subject of a massive manhunt across the U.S. The perpetrator was said to be a man armed with an AR-15 rifle. The ministry's Directorate for Protection of Indonesian Citizens said in a press statement that the Indonesian Consulate General in New York has coordinated with local authorities and contacted community networks in Maine. To date, there have been no casualties among Indonesian citizens. Based on the Indonesian Consulate General database in New York, there is only one Indonesian resident in Maine. The Indonesian Consulate General in New York thus called on all citizens to raise vigilance amid the rising armed violence in the U.S. The Arab group at the United Nations has circulated a new draft resolution on Israel-Gaza with several amendments, including one replacing the call for a ceasefire with a call for a humanitarian truce, according to the document seen by Sputnik. The draft resolution now calls for an immediate, durable, and sustained humanitarian truce, leading to a cessation of hostilities, while in the previous versions, the document called for an immediate ceasefire. Furthermore, the document now mentions the attack of 7 October as the latest escalation, but it does not call out Hamas as the perpetrator. On Thursday, the emergency special session of the United Nations on Israel's Gaza conflict started, and state representatives have been reading their country's position. The Arab group led by Jordan has prepared this text as a way to reach a peace in the region. The UN Security Council has failed to adopt a resolution, and therefore, the General Assembly is the only body which can now make a difference within the UN system. Nevertheless, Israel said from the onset that it will not support this document. Listen, now let's move on to commentary for today on UN Security Council fails to adopt resolution on Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Today's commentary is on UN Security Council fails to adopt resolution on Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The UN Security Council has again failed to adopt a resolution regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. At a meeting held on Wednesday, October the 25th, two draft resolutions submitted separately by Russia and the United States both failed to be passed due to vetoes. The United States draft resolution focuses on addressing the worsening humanitarian crisis in Gaza. In its proposal, the United States called for a cessation of violence or humanitarian pause to allow the opening of humanitarian aid routes, but it did not propose a ceasefire. The U.S. draft resolution failed to get the minimum number of votes because it only received 10 votes in favor. Meanwhile, Russia, China, and the United Arab Emirates oppose it. The resolution proposal submitted by Russia also failed to be adopted by the UN Security Council on Wednesday, and Russia, in its proposal, asked for an immediate long-lasting humanitarian ceasefire and condemned all violence and hostility against civilians. Only Russia, China, and the United Arab Emirates and Gabon supported this resolution proposal. 9 members abstained, while the United States and Britain opposed the proposal. A United Nations Security Council resolution needs at least 9 votes out of the 10 non-permanent members and no vetoes from any permanent members, namely the United States, France, Britain, Russia, and China, to take effect immediately. Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki was disappointed with the failure of the United Nations Security Council to adopt the resolution for the second time. Al-Maliki, as quoted from Republika.com, said that the repeated failure of the Security Council in stopping Israel's brutal aggression cannot be forgiven. He urged the United Nations Security Council to immediately stop the massacre carried out by Israel against people in the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian Foreign Minister's expression of disappointment is very reasonable. A resolution regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is eagerly awaited because only a resolution agreed by the United Nations Security Council allows for quicker and more effective intervention in critical or war situations. Without a resolution agreed to by the UN Security Council, the war will continue and the loss of life will continue to increase. According to data compiled by the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, from the Gaza Ministry of Health and official statements from the Israeli government, during the period of 7 to 25th October 2023, the Israeli-Palestinian war has caused around 8,000 casualties from both sides. Until the 19th day of the war, Wednesday, October the 25th, the total number of casualties on the Palestinian side was around 4 times higher than the casualties on the Israeli side. OCHA noted that the majority of Palestinian victims were in Gaza Strip, with a death toll of more than 6,500 people. In the West Bank region, the death toll was 102 people. Meanwhile, Israeli casualties amounted to around 1,400 people. OCHA also reported that there were around 1,600 Palestinians in Gaza who were reportedly missing, 900 of whom were children. The world still hopes that there will be a resolution from the United Nations General Assembly regarding the Hamas-Israel conflict. Resolutions from the UN General Assembly are not binding, but at least they have a political weight. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Patriot proklamasi, sedia berkobar.
We start today in history with an October 27, 1945, when the Indonesian State Electric Company was founded. The Indonesian State Electric Company PT PLN is an Indonesian state-owned company which operates in the field of generation, transmission, and distribution of electric power. It has been around since 19th century, founded by a sugar and tea factory owned by the Dutch who colonized Indonesia. When Japanese troops came into Indonesia during World War II, all Dutch company property rights were taken over by the Japanese Imperial Army. In the aftermath, this takeover only lasted until Indonesia achieved independence on August 17, 1945. The electricity company controlled by the Japanese was seized by Indonesian youth in September 1945, then handed over to the government of the Republic of Indonesia. On October 27, 1945, President Sukarno formed the Electric and Gas Bureau under the Minister of Public Works and Power with an electric power generation capacity of 157.5 megawatt. Appreciating the role of electricity in the nation's development and prosperity, now every October 27 is commemorated as National Electricity Day based on a presidential decree number 43 of 1983. Let's move it on to October 27, 1945, when the first Indonesian National Aviation Day occurred. The commemoration of Indonesian National Aviation Day is based on a historic event on October 27, 1945, when Indonesia seized Yogyakarta Maguwo Airfield during the War of Independence and confiscated the Cureng plane. Indonesian technicians succeeded in repairing the damaged plane and reorganizing it in Indonesian national flag colors, red and white. Air Commodore Agustinus Adi Sucipto succeeded in flying the Cureng plane and flew it at Maguwo Air Base, which is now known as Adi Sucipto Air Base. The first flight carried out by Air Commodore Agustinus Adi Sucipto succeeded in bringing a psychological effect, namely extraordinary enthusiasm for the Indonesian people to develop their strength and national aviation. October 27 has been commemorated as National Aviation Day since 1974. I learned today in history on October 27, 2007, when National Bloggers Day was established. Initially, National Bloggers Day was known and commemorated as the Blogger Party, which was held on October 27, 2007. The Minister of Communication and Informatics at that time, Muhammad Nuh, opened an event to accommodate bloggers throughout Indonesia. He declared October 27 as National Blogger Day. The annual Blogger Party event then developed so that it was able to attract many national bloggers to take part in it.
Bukan ku tak butuh kata-kata. tapi ku meragu. Apakah langkah cinta ini berbeda? Meskipun telah sempurna, cintamu bagai mimpi yang nyata. Ku ingin hatiku bertekuk lutut tak berdaya.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on food trade, one of the keys to food security. Volatile food commodities are still one of the challenges to Indonesia's national food security. Volatile food always recurs every year. This is influenced by harvest, natural disturbances, and developments in domestic and international food commodity prices. It was stated by the head of the Trade Policy Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Kasan, in a seminar entitled Global Food Trade Challenges in Jakarta last Wednesday, 25 October. According to Kasan, Indonesia's food security is still lagging behind compared to Singapore, Malaysia, and Vietnam. When compared to Indonesia, Singapore import more food. However, Singapore's handling of food security problem is better than Indonesia. This proves that countries that depend on foreign food trade do not necessarily have difficulty in overcoming food security. Meanwhile, Thailand, which exports a lot of food, has a lower food security index value than Indonesia. Kasan also explained that countries with large producer or importer status do not necessarily have good food security status. Kasan further said that food trade is one solution for food security. In global record, food is not yet among the top five traded commodities. The five commodities that are still the favorite in global trade are mineral fuels, electrical machines and equipment, cars, chemical products, and plastics. The Ministry of Trade has carried out various international trade collaborations to support food security, such as with the World Trade Organization, to increase productivity, obtain trade facilitation, stock management, and international cooperation. Apart from that, as chair of ASEAN 2023, Indonesia, through the ASEAN Ministers on Agriculture and Forestry, is carrying out various priority economic deliverables, and one of the priorities is the ASEAN leaders' declaration on strengthening food security. Meanwhile, ASEAN economic ministers are promoting two priority economic deliverables that can support food security in Southeast Asia, namely the implementation of the Certificate of Origin or full implementation of electronic certificate of origin through the ASEAN single window and the development of a roadmap for harmonization of standard in ASEAN to support the implementation of SDGs or roadmap of ASEAN harmonized standard to support sustainable development goals implementation. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kau yang kini dilanda patah hati, jangan takut, aku ada di sini menemanimu, menemanimu. Sudahlah, lupakan saja semua yang telah terjadi pada hari ini. Sudahlah, relakan saja, akan datang waktunya untuk baru. Sudahlah, biarkan saja, kau akan bertemu yang terbaik dalam hidupmu. Sudahlah, lepaskan saja, hanya waktu yang akan menjawabnya. Kau yang kini dilanda patah hati, jangan sedih,
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. When you travel to Biak Numfor Regency, Papua, you will be able to enjoy various beautiful beaches such as diving, snorkeling, and swimming. One of the beaches you can visit is Angaduber Beach. This beach with beautiful panoramas and white sand is on the easternmost of the southern coast of Biak Numfor. The location is located 32 kilometers from Biak city center, and it can be reached in about 50 minutes by using vehicles. Listener, arriving at this beach, you can also see a wide expanse of sea that is clear and gradates from greenish to increasingly blue in the distance. The beach sand is white and soft. Behind the beach, there is a row of coconut trees with a gazebo that can be used to rest. Angaduber Beach is a suitable place to swim, play in the water, and dive. If you dive, you will see the beauty of the colorful coral reefs. Listener, in another part of Angaduber Beach, there is a cliff that juts out into the sea and is the gateway to the white sand beach, and it faces directly toward the Padaido Island group. You can immediately plunge into enjoying the blue sea water. Another unique thing about this beach is that there are coral rocks that emit fresh water when the sea water is receding. This fresh water is also a source of water for local residents. Not far from Angaduber Beach, you can visit other tourism attractions such as Bird and Orchid Park, Telaga Biru Perai, Bosni Beach, and Opiaref Beach. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Seru, hai kelana langit biru.
Still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOA listener, today's Miscellany presents information from the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, which is holding an Archipelago Biodiversity Exhibition, or Kehati Expo 2023, in commemoration of National Love Flora and Fauna Day. Head of the Ministry's Public Relations Bureau, Nunu Anugrah, stated this activity was a momentum to invite the public to care more about the flora and fauna and biodiversity that Indonesia has. Kehati Expo 2023 is being held at Lapangan Banteng in Jakarta from October 21st to November 5th. This is also an effective socialization event to educate the public in introducing biodiversity and conservation in Indonesia, including its use. Through the 2023 Kehati Expo, the public is also invited to work together to preserve flora and fauna to help solve global challenges, namely air pollution, climate change, and the accelerated loss of biodiversity. National Love Flora and Fauna Day, which is celebrated every November 5th, is a milestone in the movement to save local plants and animals from the threat of extinction. Apart from providing balance to the environment, the diversity of flora and fauna can also improve environmental quality, which has an impact on health, economic, and food security aspects. Kehati Expo 2023 is also enlivened with various music events, conservation talks, and an Indonesian culinary festival. Well, listener, that's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bye.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Bangka Belitung, entitled Yok Mia. The song Yok Mia has become an oral tradition that is sung during the pepper harvest. Yok Mia narrates the farming traditions of the Belitung people, which is full of the values of togetherness, harmony, and mutual cooperations. The lyrics of Yok Mia also teach the importance of working hard for maximum result, and invitations to work with joy and the beauty of life based on the philosophy of Selawang Sedulang, namely mutual cooperation in everyday aspect of life. Here is Rafika Duri with the song Yok Mia from Bangka Belitung. Enjoy the song.
Mawa suya mi kupacok.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ini kisahnya anak manusia, kau bisa memanggilnya dengan nama Nadia. Sebuah konsonan yang menyulitkan, membuat lidahnya bosan tak bisa ucapkan. Dia coba pahami setiap manusia punya hebat, punya cacat. Dia coba nikmati hidup ini cuma sekali. Dia hanya punya
of Indonesia.
Cahaya mentari nanti akhirnya sungguh terjadi bagaikan mimpi. Lihat aku terpikat pada seorang dewi. Bagaimana caranya ku dapatkan dia? Ku manusia biasa, pantas untuknya. Haruskah ku curi sesuatu darinya? Selendang sutra miliknya, itulah hatinya. Kulihat aku terpikat, ku yakin kau ku dapat. Inilah kisah cinta aku dan dia, bagai sebuah legenda bumi dan surga. Ku harap kau mengerti apa artinya. Semua pasti bisa bila kau selalu percaya.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.